Thank you, Rabbi Summers. I'm sure I'll find it in my heart to forgive you for that very overstated introduction. I think the title was Do You Love Fish? So I guess we have to be true to the title a little bit. And the truth of the matter is, you know, I once saw a pshat in terms of why it is. Really, it's a question that sort of strikes out and hits us right between the eyes. Obvious question of the Churban Bayis Rishon lasting 70 years. 70 years later, Klal Yisrael was back in Yerushalayim with the Beis HaMikdash. After doing what? What was the reason for the essential reason for the Churban Bayis Rishon? We know were three of the greatest averus that Klal Yisrael could have possibly committed. Gil Arayi, Shvich HaZomen Avodah Zarah. And 70 years later, we're back in the Beis HaMikdash. We're back in Yerushalayim. We now have a Churban Bayis Sheni, which are now on Tisha B'Av 2,000 years, some more than 2,000 years later. We're still waiting, we're still tearing, we're still crying, we're still praying. How could it be? For what? For an Avera, there are, we know Sinas Chinam is a terrible Avera. Lashon Hara, which Chofetz Chaim explains, was part of that Sinas Chinam, was a terrible Avera, but compared to three, to the big three, Gil Raish, Shvich Adam Avodah Zarah, and we were back 7 years later and 2,000 years calculated. It's beyond words. The comparison, the devastation. And we know what a long and bloody goal is. We read about it all today. What a long goal it's been. And we're still not back. We're waiting. We're hoping it's momentary. We're hoping we're right there. We're hoping those tears are finally accumulated to the point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's it. It's time. But as of this very second, yet we haven't heard the call yet. Why? I once saw a very fascinating shot that I think really focuses in on the need to think about Tisha B'Av on a very personal level. And I saw the pshat that when a person commits a very serious avera, gila rayis, shvichas dam avodah zarah, murder, idolatry, adultery, these are things that are very evident. You get clapped in the head for doing something like that. You right away get real. You get shaken up into the realization. I messed up. What have I done? Klal Yisrael gets thrown out of Yerushalayim after perpetrating these three horrific averos. They right away are able to point to those averos and say, "We gotta change. We gotta be different. We can't continue to indulge in these horrific acts and think that we're going to walk away free of any type of punishment. We see what happens to us. Let's do tshuva." I dare say if I were to ask for a show of hands, and it's a proverbial, but if I would ask for a show of hands, I would say, who in the audience would look in the mirror and say about themselves that they're not a good person? I would tend to say no one would raise their hand. And probably, you know, very, very possibly no one should raise their hand. But the problem is that when it comes to a character issue, when it comes to an issue of sinas chinam, when it comes to the issue of are we treating our fellow Jew properly, none of us will ever look to ourselves, or very rarely do we look to ourselves, I should say, to say it's our fault. I need to get better. I have to do better. We very often tend to, there are problems in Klal Yisrael, but that one's got a problem. This one's got a problem. Everyone, yeah, there are many problems around. But me, I'm never the problem. A Jew has a tough time. We'll recognize the big averus. You can't deny them. When it's more subtle, when it's an issue of sinas chinam, it's an issue of how we treat each other, it's not so easy to recognize that. And very often the Jew will repel that and say, yeah, there are problems, but me? You know what a wonderful person I am? And very often we are. But Rabbi Yisai, I think we can look deeply into ourselves and say there's room for improvement. I think we all can say that. And that's what Tisha B'Av is about. It's about this need of introspection. A need to focus on the devastation of the past, but to say, what can we do? And when we talk about the issue of sinas chinam, clearly the onslaught that has to be brought to bear against that issue, against the lashon hara that is so devastating within Klal Yisrael, has been so devastating for the last 2,000 years, we need to completely rededicate ourselves to the avas chinam. And to the blind love, so to speak, that we have to, in a sense, envelop ourselves with. And the Lashon Tov that we have to envelop ourselves with. And the idea of working more and more as much as we're doing. But we have to try to find a way to do even more, because lamaise, it's still, we're clearly not there yet. And the Chafetz Chaim says the area that we need to improve specifically to bring the Gula, to bring Mashiach, while there are many wonderful mitzvahs that we can focus in on and we can accept upon ourselves, chumris, and to try to perfect, these are wonderful concepts, and let's do whatever we can in all areas. But the one specific area that needs to be rectified, said the Chafetz Chaim, is the area of sinas chinam of lashon hara. That has to be the focus, because that was the issue, the one and main issue. The main issue, there were other, some other avers, but the main problem that Klal Yisrael had at the Churban Bayis Sheni was the issue of we didn't treat each other properly, and therefore there is no other way to rectify that situation and to bring about the Gula Shem, which we were waiting for so long and with such deep prayers and such fervent hope. It's through the eradication of that concept. So defining Avas Chinam, Rabbi said, to focus on the idea of what love really is, because we live in Los Angeles. And I like to joke around, it's not a funny day, we don't crack jokes, but the truth of the matter is we are living in a place that has so completely distorted the meaning of the word love. This is Pico Robertson, but you know, I'm North Hollywood, whatever, now it's Valley Village, but essentially we're in the town. Unfortunately, the billboards remind us on a regular basis that we're still in Hollywood. And we are right in the heart of the media message to the world about what they think is important, and how they so distorted the value system of the world, and we unfortunately have to realize it, have to repel it, have to see through the sheker, the lies of what Hollywood would try to have us believe, and see the truth. I mean, we know about Universal Studios. I mean, it's been a long time since I've been there, but I remember the message Universal was, you know, if you do enough shtick with all types of gimmickry and gadgetry, you can literally fake anybody intended. You can make people believe you're here when you're there, and you're there and you're here. That's what it's all about. It's about making people sort of not realize the truth, not see where you're really at. Just put yourself in a different place. And they've done it with the word love. Love is a word that sort of makes us feel uncomfortable, because the only reason why we feel comfortable is love has been taken over by the secular world and sort of has, I don't know, maybe a little bit of a non-pure connotation. Love is a central part of our relationship as Jews in every way we turn. What is the Klal Gadol b'Torah? V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. The greatest, one of the greatest mitzvahs, which we say every single day, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol vavcha v'chol nafshecha. We talk about the obligation of a Jew to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We talk about Avas Olam Beis Yisrael. We talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us. Ava Rabba Avtanu. So love is at the center of everything that a Jew has to think about on a regular basis. So what is it? We need to define it. And Reuel Apayan, the great Baal Musar of the earlier generation, defines it for us by actually talking about an episode that we spoke about on a different level, from a different point of view, earlier today in the kinos. Because one of the kinos focused on Rachel Imenu. And one of the kinos focused on the amazing Medrash in Eicha about how Medrash that we've mentioned in the past, how Rachel Imenu, through its tefillos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rachel Mavaka Baneha, the schus of Rachel Imenu, how she gave up so much for the sake of allowing Leah to go into that room and not to be embarrassed, because Rachel and Yaakov made a pact between themselves and they said, we're going to make up signs to make sure that love doesn't fool us. And they made up Simonim, and yet Rachel couldn't allow her sister Leah to go in there, to be embarrassed, to be found out. So she gave her the simanim. Those tefillos were able to ultimately spark HaKadosh Baruch Hu to commit to bringing us back to Yerushalayim. Rachel v'akal b'neha. But there's a little bit of a preamble to that story. The psukim start a little bit earlier. And Rav Eli Apayan talks about a particular pasuk right there in the parsha of Rachel and Yaakov setting themselves up for this special bais nema, which ultimately took a little bit later to happen. It didn't happen right away, but ultimately was going to happen, and certainly we know what a critical role Rachel played in building Klal Yisrael. But says the pasuk, you know the story. Rachel and Yaakov met. Yaakov wanted to marry Rachel. Yaakov made a deal with Lavan. For 7 years I'm going to work, and for 7 years of hard, honest, 24/7 commitment to you, you're going to give me your daughter, and we're going to be married in 7 years. That was the plan. Says the pasuk, an amazing thing. The pasuk says that the 7 years went by kiyom achadim ba'avos hayosa. Again, the word love comes back again. In Yaakov's love for Rachel, the 7 years passed by like a couple of days. We've read that pasuk many times. Has it ever struck us that really it goes counterintuitive to what the human experience really is? I joke with the kids very often, the students, well, you know, I say once school starts, they probably have the calendar, they mark off how many days to the next summer vacation, only 171 school days left, you know, and they're all waiting. How does that feel? Does it feel like it goes by like in a couple seconds? Or does it feel like forever? If I gave somebody front row tickets 3 months away to the most exciting event that they would ever want to imagine they can go to, front row, $4,000 a piece, mamish, if I gave them, and then they're counting down the days, wouldn't it seem like forever? What does the pasuk mean that the 7 years went by like a few days because of Yaakov's love for Rachel? Because of Yaakov's love for Rachel, it should have been that it should have lasted forever. My gosh, I'm waiting so long. 7 years can seem like 50 years. He says something very profound, something that I think really has to become our focus in terms of the way we look at the world. And again, on a day like today, such as Tisha B'Av, where we're so focused again on improving ourselves, I can't really imagine a more important theme. And he says the same point: is we do not understand the word love. Because we've taken, and this is all Leoli Apian talking now, this is going back 50, 60, 70 years. And even in his time, it was a distorted concept. And he gave a mashal. He gave a mashal. And he gave the mashal a fish. And he said, can you imagine walking down the street, he says, and you hear a guy, he's sitting by a table, he's talking to somebody, he says, you know what, I really love fish. So you hear a guy really loving fish, you want to say, you know, what's going to be with this fellow who really loves fish? Let's see what's going to be. I want to bring this up on a day that we're fasting, but I guess, you know, we'll be eating soon enough, so you'll forgive me. But, so he's waiting to see what's going to be with this guy who loves fish. So all of a sudden, the guy, a few minutes later, the guy that he was talking to comes out with a plate of grilled salmon, okay, and he puts it down in front of him. The guy who loves fish takes out a fork and a knife, and he digs it into the salmon, he starts cutting up the salmon. Shocked. This man loves fish. Doesn't love fish. You just had this fish grilled. You just had it fried. You killed it. You're eating it. You love fish. And he says, he doesn't love fish. He loves the way fish tastes. He loves fish as it's going down into his stomach. He loves himself, bottom line. You don't love fish. If you love fish, you'd be like that fellow. There are people in the world who love fish. They buy themselves beautiful aquariums. And they spend hours upon hours, and they look for Nemo or Waldo, whatever it is over there. And you pour down the food, the fish food, into the tank, and you have each one has a special name. And you talk to them, and you nurture them, you take care. That's a man who loves fish. That's a woman who loves fish. Somebody who sits there and ordering fish, and I happen to be somebody who happens to enjoy the taste of fish, but I'll admit, I have to watch my life. I don't really love fish. I enjoy the taste of fish. Let's just talk the way we're supposed to be talking. Let's talk some zach, as they say. And the reality is, he says, we have to be so careful. Because love does not mean what the world says it means. When we use the expression, I love, you know what we mean? We mean, what the world means is, what do I get out of it? I love this situation. Yeah, because I love camp. Think about it. Kids love camp. Again, if you really love camp, the question wouldn't be, what if you ask the kid, so why do you love camp? What do you mean, why do I love camp? The color war is great, and the activities are great, and the learning is great, and the counselors are great. So all you keep telling me is about what camp's doing for you. You're missing it. So that's why camp loves you. Camp is giving you a tremendous amount. You want to tell me how you love camp? You tell me what you're giving to camp. Explain to Rav Leah Beyond. Ava, as you must have heard before along the way, Ava is the essential root of the word Ava's have, is to give. The process of loving is a process of giving. It's a process of giving of yourself. And therefore, if to ultimately define the concept is wherever you will find Ava, in a Torah reference, you'll find giving. You'll find selflessness. You'll find a concern for wanting to do for somebody else. And when the pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu, the time flew by for 7 years, because he loved her so much, he explains, So if love is giving, did he have to dafka wait 7 years to give her? The 7 years, he loved her so much that giving began right then and there at the beginning of the shidduch. So it was able to fly by in a matter of days. Because in flying by, when does something fly by? When do we look at the clock and say, my gosh, I can't believe 2 hours passed by? Well, you're involved in an endeavor. When you're passionate about something and you're immersed in it, and you're not waiting for something. When you're waiting for something to gratify you, it seems like forever. But if you're involved in the process of doing something, when you're passionate about it, and you're totally enthralled with it, then it's flying by. You don't even notice the clock. You don't even notice the time. So he explains, he loved her. Because he loved her, he was able to, his giving didn't wait for 7 years. His giving began right away. And in that process, it was able to fly by. So when we think in these terms, when we think of the greatest love that exists in the world, the greatest loves that exist in the world, the love of a parent to a child, how the Chovos HaVavos tells us, the greatest love, a love of a parent, what wouldn't the parent do for a child? But the love is not so much when we say, I love my child. There the love is what the parent is able to give to the child. And why is there a discrepancy? Why is it that, I'm sure if we measure typically on the Richter scale of love, the parent's love for a child is greater than the child's love for a parent. And he explains, because the parent is invested in the giving process. When you give, the more you give, the more you love, according to the Torah's definition. Because love is the complete, total commitment and readiness to do whatever that person needs. I'm ready to give you whatever you need. That's love. Not what I get out of it. Well, we use that expression all the time. I love this, I love this, I love this. Let's stop using it. Because it distorts our whole thinking about the word love. When you give to something, when you care about something, let's stop for a second and just think in the times in the Chazal, in the Torah, when we use this word love, this unique relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. Avas Olam Beis Yisrael. Ava Rabba Avtanu. Think about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. You say, how do I know? How do I know? If love is purely an emotion, the way the secular world would have us think, well, where do I know? How do I feel? Well, we can say he put us here in this world. Yes, he did a lot. It seems that he loves us because he puts up with a lot, doesn't he? But it's much more basic. It's much more fundamental. When you stop and you think what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, he's given us a Torah. He's given us a system by which we can perfect ourselves. He's given us the greatest gift, the entire world, all the entire universe, the galaxies, the limitless galaxies, all created for what reason? Yisaka Baraisa Baralma. He looked into the Torah and he created the world. That means the Torah is the entire blueprint for creation. Who has this Torah? Who is privy to this Torah? Klai Yisrael. This was a special gift that he gave to us. So again, when you think about, when we use the expression HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us, it's not just an emotional concept that's sort of, well, I have to believe it because I've been told it. No. We have the ultimate proof. We have it every single day. Sure, we get up every morning and sure we're alive, which again is the greatest gift, but it's more tangible than that. He gave us a Torah. He gave us a way to live. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us so much. I just realized recently, there's another dimension of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. And this is why, despite the sadness, there is this amazing dichotomy of the human being. Even Tisha B'Av itself, how amazing it is that we don't say Avidu Malkeinu, how we don't say Tachton on Tisha B'Av, how in the very day that we are torn by sadness, we're so enveloped with pain, yet there is Korelai Moed. We recognize the Yontif aspect itself. There is this ability to see the joy within the day, because we know that this day, the very day that's the root of all of the horrors of the past, is going to be the root of all of the joy in the future. So we're able to live in this dichotomy where both these things seem to be able to live within a human being. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, in addition to what he's given us, there's another dimension to what he gives us. He, Vayipach Ba'pav, when he made Adam Rishon, and we know it, certainly all students from the yeshiva of Chavetz Chaim, how many shmuzah we heard about from the altar and from the yeshiva Zatzal about the godless Adam, and how the altar would speak about this tremendous gift of HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us, what did he give us? He says, v'yipach bav nishmas elokim. The pasuk talks about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into us the Spirit of God. The nishmas elokim is within us. And that wasn't just within Adam, it's within all of us. So says the famous quote of the Zohar, everyone quotes the Zohar, man de nafach midilei nafach. When you blow into a balloon, and you blow up a balloon, what's in that balloon? Your air is in that balloon. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into us. The word he blew into means that his very essence, the very essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we talk about the Tzelem Elokim, this godliness we have within us, it's literally a godliness because man denafach midelafach. When you blow into something, you blow off yourself. So in each and every one of us is the godliness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Somehow, in some way, we have literally godliness within us. We have HaKadosh Baruch Hu within us. So you talk about the ultimate gift. What? How does He love us? He gave us the Torah. He gave us this gift of the truth of the world, the whole basis for the entire creation He gave us. But He gave us even more. He gave us of Himself. He gave man de nafach midilonafach. He literally blew within us the absolute greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's even beyond words. You can't even put into any type of you can't define it any which way. How do you define godliness? How do you explain godliness? So what is that? So when we stop and we think, but who are we? The recipients, how we have received this amazing gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us. So when we talk about the word love, it's always in the context of love, it's always going to be, what have you done? And on the flip side, we say it every single day, V'yafsas Hashem Elokecha. We have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, how? Do we just walk around saying, oh God, I love you, I love you, I love you? Is that enough? No, it's not enough. The Torah defines for us how we love. Because if love means to give, how do we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? V'yafsas Hashem Elokecha, v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol meyadecha. That's how we love. We love by giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu total commitment with all of b'shnei yitzarecha, b'chol levavcha, with all of your inclinations, with everything you have to be committed to give back, to follow the mitzvos, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, it's a giving process, a loving process. How ironic it is, how it almost, it runs against everything that we're being told. Because when you talk about love, we talk about how much we're getting out of it, but it's not really true, it's how much we're bringing into it. And therefore, and says the Mishabur, every single what we say, V'yaftas Hashem Elokecha b'chol nafshecha, while we read all day today about how we actually gave our nefashos over the last 2,000 years, and we hope we don't have to do it anymore, we hope the Mesiras Nefesh is over. Bez Hashem Yisbarach. But at the same time, every single time we say those words, v'chol nafshecha, says the Mishabur, that you have to be ready to say, I'm ready to give my life. That's how much I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if it ever came down to it and I was asked to give up my life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the kavana need to be, we're ready to do that. That's the commitment that we have. That's how much you're ready to give. That's the ava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us, because that's ultimately the ava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us. He gave us His everything, His whole world. His essence is within us. He gave us His Torah, which is His Sakha Baraisa Barama, the blueprint of creation He gave us. So how do we reciprocate? How do we respond? By giving Him our everything, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol meyadecha, every last penny if necessary. If we have to spend all our money to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly, obviously we ask a shayla, everything has to be done kedasu kedin. But if that's what the halacha is, and the person has to give up his last, how many times have you learned in the halacha where in the Chavetz Chaim, when he talks about the Sefer Chavetz Chaim, if a person has a job and he's told on his job and it's his only job, he has no other way of feeding it, he doesn't know how he's going to feed his family. So what's going to be with my money? What's going to be with my salary? I don't know what's going to be. But your job, your owner, the boss says, if you want this job, you got to get me dirt on our competition. You got to find me what Mr. Berkowitz is doing wrong, you know, with either in business or out of business. But I need some dirt because we got to get ahead. And we gotta beat the competition. And if we got to do it the dirty way, I'm going to do it the dirty way. So just get me that. If you want this job, you're going to have to get me that information. If not, you're out of here. You're fired. Can I get the dirt? Can I get the Lashon Hara? Can I get the information? Says the Chavetz Chaim, no. You got to give up the job. But what's going to be? What's going to be with my salary, with my parnosa? V'chol meyadecha. There are times that a person needs to be willing to give up everything for the sake of showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I love you. Because that's our obligation. He loves us. He's given us His everything. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says one more thing from us. The ultimate love. I say it all the time. Can you imagine going, how crazy this sounds. To go over to somebody and say, you know, I just want you to know, I love you so much. Really, you're the most important person in the world to me. I just want to show you how much I love you. I just want to tell you how much I love you. I met your son yesterday, and I beat him up. And I punch him in the stomach, and I broke his arm, and I smash his kneecap, and he's in the hospital now for about a week. I just want to let you know that's how much I love you. I mean, you say, get this guy, get the people in the white suits, and put him in the rubber room somewhere. The guy's crazy. You love me? You love me? You hate me? You beat up my son? You didn't treat my daughter properly? You love me? You hate me? What do you mean, no, I do love you. No, you don't. If you loved me, you'd realize the number one way. You can love me a lot of different ways. And you can give me a lot of different ways. But the number one way you can love me is by taking care of my children. What parent wouldn't say that? That's the way you love me. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah V'yahavta Rechah Kamocha. Because Borem Atam Hashem Lekech, we are all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, I want you to love me, and I demand that you love me, and I give you a mitzvah after us, Hashem Lekech. We read it every day, twice a day in Shema. And we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, and that's very obvious. He's given us everything in the world. But the ultimate way of repaying, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is V'yahavta Rechah Kamocha. Ani Hashem. I'm a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? I made you, I created you, you feel you owe me, you feel you want to pay me back, that's wonderful. And you should feel that way. Take care of my children. Take care of my children for me. Treat them properly, treat them nicely, and give. Give to them. That's the word Ava, give to them. And the most fundamental level of giving, explains the Gemara in Shabbos, is Madaloch San El Chavar Chol Savid. Number one and first and foremost, don't hurt them. Because whatever you would not want done to you, do not do unto somebody else. That's the first level that we have to remember. Because if we're not at that point, if we can shower somebody with a lot of good, but if we do something to undermine that good by one horrific act, or one damaging act, or one statement of Lashon Hara, or one Onaz Devorah, one type of expression or statement that can be piercing and undermining to a person's self-esteem and a person's relationships, That's then it's all over. We've destroyed all the good that we possibly want to do. So again, it's about giving, but giving in a way where there's no strings attached. There's nothing negative. We have to first eradicate, the Marsha says there in Gemara Shabbos, the first step of after Acha Kamocha is to eradicate all of the possible damage. You can't be doing damage and fulfilling after Acha Kamocha. It can't be done. So you have to start. Whatever is hated to you, don't do unto somebody else. Whatever you would not want done to you, don't do to anybody else. If we sort of step back and sort of looked at the world in this kind of a way, when we stop and we think, that's what makes marriage such a unique concept in the Torah's view. How different marriage is, with all the jokes you hear in the world, how crazy the secular world's view of marriage, and why marriage is so, as an institution, so falling apart in today's world. And how in Hollywood especially, where this is where it's at, if a Hollywood marriage lasts for, I don't know, what, 6 months now, it's like a nest goal, it's a miracle if it lasts. Because think about it. What's a marriage about? A marriage is about, love at first sight, just an expression alone, love at first sight. We love somebody. Why? I mean, you're attracted. It's physical. It's what you're going to get out of it. Well, you get a little tired, the love is gone. Because if that's what love is, it's what I get out of a situation, I don't love her anymore. Right? Right? That's what we hear that all the time. Oh, they fell out of love. I don't love you anymore. Well, according to Torah's definition, that can never happen, because the only way you can fall out of love with somebody is if the person no longer is alive to do good for them. But as long as a person's alive, of course you can love them, because you can just give to them. Love is not an emotion, it's a verb, it's an action. It's the act of giving. And that's why when a chas of a kala and start a process of building a bais emem b'Yisrael, when they're infused with the idea, the Torah value system, of a man or woman not being able to be complete till marriage sets in, because a marriage is the ultimate giving. It's the ultimate completion of a human being, because that's when you can give the most. Share every single moment of your life with your partner in building a new home and raising children and doing mitzvahs in a different kind of way and giving to each other in a way that you never could give to anybody till now. That completes a person. And that's why it's called Kedusha. It's called sanctity. It's the greatest level of Kedusha, because it's the ultimate act of giving. So it really, this concept allows us to change our entire view and to realize that we have to, as much as Baruch Hashem we are, and this is, you know, we're talking to Baruch Hashem, special, special people. The fact that you're here on a Tisha B'Av, but I don't have to, it's not that alone. I know Baruch Hashem, this shul is an incredible place of incredible Jews who are inspiring to everyone around them. Rabbi say, it's going to have to come from the special people. It's the special people who, Baruch Hashem, who have done so much, who somehow we have to try to find a way to even get a little bit better, and to find a way to even purify ourselves that much more. And when it comes to purity, when it comes to sanctity, when it comes to sort of refining the acts, there really is no limit. You know, there's it's an amazing Gemara. Also, one of the Asar Harugei Malchus, one of the people that we read about this morning, Rechina Ben Trajo, who was one of the 10 people that were killed in martyrdom by the Romans. And the Gemara says that Rechina Ben Trajo would teach Torah publicly. And at the expense, literally at the risk of his life, he would be teaching Torah. And the rabbis went to him and they tried to tell him, what are you doing? You're putting your life in danger. He gave the same type of answer he gave that Rabbi Akiva gave. I have to teach Torah. This is our lifeblood. Without Torah, we're nothing. So I have to teach. And if I have to give up my life, then that's what I have to do. And as the rabbis were leaving Rabbi Chaim Trajan's presence, the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Chaim Trajan said, let me just ask you a question. You asked one of the great Tanaim. You wanted to ask him a question. What's the question? Funny question. He asked him, tell me, do you think I'm a Bet Olam Haba? Do you think I'm going to be going to Olam Haba? Which for a Tana to ask every time that Gemara was able to Mechaya Mason, they could literally bring people back to life. A Tana, you have to ask whether you're going to Olam Haba. What was even more amazing was the Tana's response. The Tana answers back to Rabbi Chaim Ben Trajan, well, tell me, what have you done? Tell me what you've done in your life, and I'll be able to answer you whether or not you're going to Olam Haba. Rabbi Chaim Ben Trajan says, well, a few years ago I had Purim money, tzedakah money, that technically I could have kept for myself because it was a doubtful money and I could have given part of it away, but part of it I could have kept. I gave it all away. I gave it all to tzedakah. Says the Tana back to Chaim Ben Trajan, if that's what you did, then you're going to Olam Haba. You're Ben Olam Haba. It's mind-boggling. The man is teaching Torah public. He's being Moser Nefesh every single day. And you got to talk about a story about some tzedakah money in a drawer 3 years, 5 years ago that's going to get him into Olam Haba. What's happening here? So the Bali Musar explained that when you come to measure mitzvahs, it's very hard. But the minute a mitzvah is public and it's the minute a mitzvah is sort of out in the open, its purity is in question. It's hard to know when everyone's aware of your actions. It's hard to know whether it was ever done with total purity. And once you have that sort of cloud, it's impossible to say that there's an automatic entryway, because it's a pure act that gives one immediate and automatic entryway into Olam Haba. What the Tana was asking is, have you done anything with such purity where there is no question? There is no cloud. There's an absolute total act where you did it at the time that you did it. No one knew about it. It was private. It was secret. There were no banquets. There was no bright lights. There was no glitz and glamour. All there was a Jew doing something good for another Jew. A Jew doing something totally with sincerity, without any other type of motivation. And he said, yeah, there was a few years ago. I didn't know that I was going to be telling you this story. I didn't know that it was going to be written. At the time that he did it because I just wanted to do it. He said, if that's the case, you're better off my book. We see from this Gemara that when we talk about giving, we talk about caring, we talk about mitzvos, and this is something that's been so true throughout all of history. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks, the subtlest things, the smallest types of actions could be so elevated and so dynamic. They can change the course of mankind, not because of its far-reaching impact in terms of the numbers or in terms of its thunder. There's not a lot of thunder, not a lot of glitz and glamour, but it's pure. It's because this person wanted nothing more than to do the right thing, to do the Ratzon Hashem. And that's a kind of action that certainly we could always find ways to further look for, to further purify, to further enhance. There are no limitations in that regard to those types of actions. And therefore, if in the realm of giving, in the realm of true Ava, when we talk about Avas Yisrael, those types of actions which come along all the time, and who doesn't need some help, and who isn't downtrodden once in a while. When the Reb David asked the altar, I believe it was, what should his mantra be for coming to America in the 1920s, in a time when who would come to America to teach Torah to who? Everyone said it couldn't be done. Everyone said America is a place where you can't build Torah. What are you going to do? How are you going to do? What should my focus and what should my mantra be? Says the altar to Reb David. He quotes a pasuk in Navi. He says, your focus should be l'hachos leivid kam, like be a rosh shvalim. Your goal should be to pick up the downtrodden. One person, one neshama at a time. Pick people up, lift people up, make people feel good. Give them a smile. We have no idea of the simple things that we do on a daily basis that could be so significant in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. And it's those actions that literally as we look back now, we look at with the Midrashim now in terms of what kept us here and how we're still here. Based on what? Based on actions that were, again, we talk about Yaakov Avinu, we pray for rain every Shmini Atzeres, we pray for rain in the schus of Yaakov because he moved the stone with purity. V'yichad lev v'golevet. And it's giving us rain for over 3,000 years already. Yichad lev v'golev, he moved the stone and we put it into our tefillah's geshem because it was an act done with purity. And Rachel Imenu gives over the simanim to lay an act of selflessness that still is critical. Rachel Mavakal Bena is going to be a critical factor in Jewish survival. It's been a critical factor in Jewish survival. There's no doubt in my mind that just like clearly that's been the course of history till now. When that final Rabbi Beryl Wein history book gets written, the one that includes the third bias, which hopefully will be written pretty soon, there's no question in my mind that when all the Midrashim come out of the third Binyan Beis HaMikdash, when all of the issues, when Mashiach reveals to us, and Eliyahu Navi reveals to us, what are the factors? I imagine one of the most, I'm not sure, but you know, I thought originally, what's the first question we're going to ask Mashiach when he comes? When he comes through that door, what's the first question we're going to ask him? So my original reaction was going to be, what took so long? But I don't think that's the case. I have a right, it's not the case, because we're going to read in a few weeks, it says in the Navi, Berega kot nazav tich, ubrachim godol akapsei. You left us for a small second, and you brought us back with tremendous compassion. You left us for a brief second? Berega kot nazav tich, you left us for a brief second? What do you mean a brief second? It's been 2,000 years, a long bloody gullus that you left us. So it says, I think it's the Radak or the Rabag explained, it is going to be so much joy and so much simcha when Mashiach comes that literally it'll appear like a second. It'll mamash, it'll seem like it was the goals flew by. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? That's how much joy we're going to feel. So I don't think the question is going to be what took so long, because it's not going to feel so long. It's going to feel like, ah, great, he's here. So fast, that's great. That's tremendous. That's how Berega kot nazav tich. But I think the first question we probably would ask him is, why now? What happened right now? What was the direct Siba that we merited you now and not a year ago or 5 years ago? Give us the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And while we don't know the ultimate ways, but if the past is any indication for the future, it's about chesed. It's about ava. It's about selflessness. It's about purity. It's about actions done without any limelight, without any grandiose goals of recognition. It's about simply wanting to do the right thing because I want to give. And I say to the kids all the time, I say to my students, there are two types of people in the world. There are givers and there are takers. And the takers are miserable. Because no matter how much you're taking, we're told by Shlomo HaMelech, you're never going to take enough. And no matter what people do for me, I want more. And every time you see something, there are takers who look at the world, everything through them. What can this one do for me? What can that one do for me? If I can move to the... And you know what? They're miserable. They're miserable because no matter what you do and how you maneuver everything, there's always, that could have happened and that should have happened. I didn't get this. I should have gotten that. And they're miserable. But there are givers in the world. The givers are always happy. Because to give, you don't need $1 million. You don't need a fancy house. You just need a smile. You need your physical well-being. And you just need to be able to just touch somebody else and help somebody else and do for somebody else, and that doesn't require a lot. And those people are the happiest people in the world, because that gives you inner satisfaction, and that's limitless and it's endless. And that's why the Chazal say, the Machzikei Rabim are the ones who light up the world forever, because their schusim lasts forever. So in conclusion, you know, we know the famous story about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, when he was on the mountain, the Har Shamim, the Hareva, the Shualim Hilchuboy that we read about this morning, and Rabbi Akiva saw those foxes, and he saw the animals on the Harabayis, and all the Tanoim were crying, and Rabbi Akiva was laughing. And it was mind-boggling to the Tanoim. You're crying. You're laughing. Why are you laughing, Akiva? Why are you laughing? He said, well, why are you crying? He said, we're crying. What do you mean, why are we crying? Look at the Temple Mount. Look at the Harabayis. Today we should go there. We do cry, but do we cry with a sense of what's on that mountain? What's on that Harabayis? What's that mosque doing there? Should shine sight that it should all end. Of course we're crying. And Rabbi Akiva said, that's exactly why I'm laughing. Because I understand something from this. And just like the devastation I see right now, but I know the nevuah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us is going to come true. And I think the message is not that we shouldn't cry, but with those tears and with all the crying, that there has to be that korelai moed, within all those tears and all the sadness and sitting on the floor and what we just have and what we're going through right now on a Tisha B'Av, which we have to go through, hopefully for the very last time. But at that very same time, how we feel the Ava, that Avas Hashem, it's always got to be there. I think Rabbi Akiva was telling us, I want you to know that when you're crying, don't stop laughing. Because in a sense, the Purim and the Tisha B'Av, I see this Purim and Tisha B'Av is really two opposite sides of the same coin. Tisha B'Av talks about the horrors of Golos, and Purim talks about the Yeshua of Golos, and the Hester Panim of Golos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never left us in Golos. And in our tears, we need to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. And when we know that, when we feel the love, we feel the Chazi Hashem, as Rabbi Yaakov Avner says, because we're still here. The bottom line is we're still here, and we're still kicking, and we're still strong, and we're still vibrant, and we're still crying, and we're still waiting for that redemption. So that's the greatest miracle of them all. They've tried throughout all the years, yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love is the only thing that's to say. There's no other explanations. We can talk about the Jewish spirit, but the Jewish spirit is one and the same of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spirit. He's the one who's allowed us to be here today. And Bez Hashem, that Ava that we feel from Him, that Ava that we're able to hopefully give back to Him, not b'chol nafshecha that way, but b'chol levavcha, b'chol mi'edecha, total commitment, total readiness, and maybe most importantly, the v'aftaracha kamocha, the loving of one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, with selflessness, with true dedication. Bez Hashem, and that's chus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, see how much we care for each other, and how much we care for Him, that ultimately we will finally, it'll be revealed, the ultimate love that He has for us, Bez Hashem, with the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMashiach, may have remained.
I'd like to thank Rabbi Stolberger very, very much for his Mesiras Nefesh and everything he does for Klal Yisrael, and the wonderful Divrei Soros that he gave us. The Chofetz Chaim Heritage video will be next. That will be at 3:45.